Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx media such as...
Rebelde.
Rebelde. Y soy rebelde. Cuando nos... Okay, yeah.
Anyways,
it's been a while since this show has been out.
10 years?
More. I think it's been like 12 years.
Oh, God. I'm aging myself right now. That's terrible.
It's been 12 years. It's fine, though. Like, okay, this show was... It was straight, right? Like, in general, it was straight.
In general.
But it wasn't... It wasn't.
It wasn't when you put your queer goggles on,
funnily
which I
enough,
did often.
Yeah, your queer goggles spotted a certain actress by the name of Maite.
Of course, her name was Maite. And
I don't know her character's name.
I don't know her character's name either.
But she was like grooming with a girl named Jose Lucan.
And they were in love. And I don't
they just didn't know
said.
It.
They were in a like a committed long-term relationship, dude, and they didn't know it.
And both of the guys that they dated were like nothing.
Nothing. They were never part of the plot. It was always about them and what they were doing and who they were fighting about. And they would always make up so dramatically. Like,
oh,
these two characters in this boarding school room together, and one of them's playing sports and one of them's like kind of girly, kind of punk. And
Bro.
They spent a lot of their time making up from fights, like with like, you know, close up shots.
Do you remember in Rebelde that one scene where they were all dancing and it was like all the girls like lined up like twerking on each other basically?
Of course.
That whole scene, like I didn't know I was gay yet, but fuck, how did I not know I was gay yet? Like, I was dying at that scene.
Girl.
R.I.P. my 12 year old.
What's poppin', chingona?
I am in your home again. We've recorded one other episode here, the Titus Effect. Go listen to it. It's my favorite episode.
It's your favorite episode, yeah.
Not yours, but mine.
Mine is still the gypsy episode.
Really?
Yeah, oddly enough, that's my favorite episode.
It gets a lot of love.
Joe's
favorite
episode.
I wonder why.
Is the Steven Universe episode.
Why could that be?
I don't know.
I wonder. It's because he's in it. And... Oh my god. Well, I kind of want to reference what's been happening in the world lately just because it's so
yeah.
heavy.
So like a few of our most recent episodes have been episodes that were recorded a while ago. So
yes.
We didn't have, you know, new news or we haven't been able to talk about new stuff. And we do keep a lot of, you know, we try to keep our stuff really not heavy.
Yeah.
To say the least. Yeah. But I still, you know, we still want to talk about Las Vegas and how fucked up that whole thing was.
It's... ridiculous at this point, the way that America's obsession with guns matters more than people.
Yes, and
so,
like, just, you know, it just keeps happening. Like, it's just not
it's
stopping.
Not going to stop happening because humans aren't learning from their history. And we're starting to get like a little political. I don't know. It just needs to stop. It just needs to stop, and people should care about this. People should care about each other. People should care about other people.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's very simple.
We definitely want to like extend
our love to everyone
our
in
sentiments.
Vegas.
You know,
yeah.
Like we know Babalito and we know Fabi Five from over there.
Yeah.
And we love them to death, and we're so glad that they're okay.
But anyone out there that was affected or not affected, or if you're just near it or anything, anyone affected by gun violence, like, our heart goes out to you. Dallas had to deal with that
a while ago. Yeah.
Not even too long ago, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's not that long, and we knew people there at that march that were. Getting basically
yeah so I mean we're here where our DMs are open and our email cycpodcastmail@gmail.com is open.
Yeah, and we just want to say we love our Vegas fans and
our people.
Yeah,
there
our people
for sure.
So yeah,
all right, so heaviness
aside,
is done for
yeah.
for now.
Whoa, everyone breathe. Oh my gosh,
I'm gonna speaking of Vegas, I'm gonna be in Vegas the first weekend in November.
Vegas was popping.
Yeah, so I'll be there the first weekend of November.
You gonna gamble?
I don't know. I'm not a big gambler.
Yes.
Take $20 and go to the penny slots, girl.
I might.
I mean, honestly, I don't gamble either, so I'm just kind of telling you advice I would never take.
I mean, I've been to Vegas before, and I have, like, you know, I've done a couple, a little bit of gambling.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going with my friends, and it's kind of like our goodbye trip because I'm moving down to Los Angeles
that
same weekend. Mm-hmm.
I know. How whack. Come back. Baby, come back.
So speaking of Los Angeles,
you could blame it all.
About 3 weeks after that, which is November 19th, it's
going to
be...
Oh my God, yes! This is so exciting, you guys.
This is going to be amazing. There is the first ever Podcast Video Fest.
Lit.
In downtown Los Angeles. We have more information on our Instagram.
Who's going to be there?
So many people. Like, I'm going to put up a list this... On Instagram probably this week.
Those with our favorite people are going to be
our
there.
Our favorite fucking people.
Our favorite Latinos podcasts are going to be there.
Latinos Who Lunch, of course. Main event. They're going to be there for sure. I think at least one half of Celebronas is going to be there.
Yeah, lit.
Shout out to dueling it. There's so many. Like, I honestly,
I'm so excited, dude.
I am too. So, and we're going to be there, which is crazy that, like, right after I leave, you know, I live in Los Angeles, this festival's going on, and then Cynthia's going to, you know, fly up there, and we're going to be up there.
We're going to be making it pop.
And it's free for you guys.
Yes, it's free.
Thank you, Molcajete Dominguero. Like, and that's an amazing thing that you should look up. Also on our Instagram.
Yes, also on Instagram.
They have amazing things for sale, like once a month in LA.
I bought a shirt from Gentle Riot.
Yeah, you
and
did. It was a badass shirt.
It's badass. I wear it all but too much. And she sells, Gentle Riot sells her shit there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's poppin'. I mean, it's really cool stuff there. And I'm definitely going to be hitting that up every month. So yeah, November 19th, it's a Saturday. More details to come. Right now, the tentative times are like 1 to 6. Free to the public, we'll be there.
Free, bitches. Y'all better go.
Free 99.
But please follow us on the social media, CYC Podcast, because that's where we're going to be putting up all this information.
Yes. We're going to try to have, like, beer koozies and stickers.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have stickers for you guys, like, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to meeting you. And then, okay, so we're going to have a really great episode today. But before that, I want to challenge you guys to do something for us.
Yes. Por favor.
Well, you can do one of two things, preferably both, but one of two things. You can either go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and or rate us, or both, preferably both.
Preferably both.
Or number two, you can just recommend us to somebody that you think would like our podcast.
Yes, por favor.
If you do one of those two things, like, you're going to help us keep doing this for you for free for... Awesome.
Yeah. Yes, we are doing this for free, and everything comes out of our pockets.
So much. But we, you know, obviously we love it that much.
Yes, we do.
And we have by the way, we do have shirts up. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, buy a shirt.
If you want, or a sticker, teespring.com/CYC podcast.
Yes, we also have that on the tweeters.
And the Instagrams.
And on the Instagrams.
Yes.
The Twitter and Instagrams.
I only have them in white right now because I think it looks best on white, but I'm going to put up an option for black because people have been requesting that.
We've suggested a darker color.
I love it on white. I guess I'm really
long sleeve.
Yeah. I'll put some options. I'm going to throw some customization in there for y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, like a baseball tee or... No, we'll figure it out. Like, I've had like 10 ideas in my head.
There are definitely options for different kinds of things on there. I wanted to keep it simple because I that's how I liked it, but...
Shout out to Desiree. Shout out to Desiree for making that design,
Desiree,
bro.
She did an amazing design.
And she's still making some more stuff for us, so shout out to her.
Some more stuff coming. All right, well, today we're talking about...
Queer baiting. So if you guys don't know, queer baiting is something you might hate, and something that a lot of queer people hate, period. It's when TV shows and films often hint that two characters of the same gender are going to get together, and then they don't. Those bastards. We spend most of our time having to deal with these queer baity ass shows and their lack of real representation because they're too scared to do anything bold. So F them. The definition of bold, right?
Yes.
It's to actually have queer characters. But we're going to talk to you today about some of the most queer baity shows. It's going to be mainly a focus on television.
It's going to be only television.
Yeah.
And we're, yeah.
It's going to be only TV.
We'll probably do a movie one soon, but that's a little different because with movies, you know, it's a movie, it's over and done with a TV show. You can, you know, you have an episode every week.
You spend 4 years dedicating your life to a show that's going to give you a kiss on the cheek. Thanks a lot.
Glee.
Anyway.
No, but yeah, that's why it's so much easier to talk about it in television. But it's not non-existent in movies. Like, you can definitely talk about it in movies.
Oh, 100%, for sure.
Especially
for sure.
In the past. What I'm gonna focus on is the CW, which is the network that has been very guilty as of recent when it comes to queerbaiting. Yeah.
Oh God, they're trash at that. They what they dedicate. It's like they sit in a room and decide. They're like, how can we queerbait them today?
They're like, yeah, they're like, let me, I want this fan base, but I don't want to do them right.
Yeah, like, I want them to be obsessed with us, and I then I want nothing to happen because we hate them.
A little just background that I'm just going to, like, throw out there. Honestly, like, you know, back in the day, there wasn't really television, but before, like, in films and stuff, like, 1910s, 1920s, radio? Shit was queer. No, like, movies. Shit was queer. Like,
oh, my God.
Girls in tuxes, always doing queer, all kinds of crazy shit. Like, film was, you know, it was artistic. Like, they didn't care that much. Of course, Wyatt.
Any, like, media, dude. Like, any media was queer.
But it was a little queer. But then the production code happened. Ugh. In which, basically, they, like, limited so much, and it was bullshit. But one of the components of the production code was that if you're going to have... You have a queer character or a queer storyline, basically, that character has to die, or somebody has to die, or somebody has to get, like, get horribly diseased, you know. Basically, you have to
end in tragedy.
You have to interpret to the audience, or make it seem to the audience, that being this way or in this way of life is bad and you shouldn't do it. It should be a lesson learned. And so that's where I think queerbaiting kind of spawned off from, where it was like, okay, yeah, we're gonna have this representation for these people, but we have to end it horribly. We have to make them know, like, yeah, you're gay, but, like, you're gonna be really miserable.
This is how terrifying it is to be gay. This is a fake representation of your life, and we're gonna make it terrible.
The production code, of course, was abolished because it's bullshit.
Of course, trash.
But as many things in our history that are horrible that were abolished, you still have an aftermath.
I think it's just because the writers' room—they're probably mostly white dudes.
And it's because they think that this stuff is like, oh, this is a great twist. Like, no, it's not a great twist.
Not,
dude. Like, you're sending a message that was introduced because of the production code, and it's not okay.
I don't know. I think a lot of these rooms are just not, like, diverse as anything. Like, I think it's just white guys who think 100%. being, like, subversive is introducing, like, maybe a queer character, like, queer baiting them.
And they don't take the time to really
that's
learn.
That's not subversive. They need to get out of their, you know... their bubble, their suburban bubble.
They don't even take the time to, if they had taken the time, if they want to do something like that, they can take the time, do the research, spend time with the people, and realize that what they're doing is bullshit.
Yeah, but, you know, their interaction with people is probably limited to, like, the same four dudes in a room. So get it together, dudes. Get it together. In fact, you know what? Hire women of color.
They're working on it. It's slowly, but
hire women of color.
Hire me. Anyways.
Hire Maitha.
So I'm going to start off with, like, your very basic queer bait. Most recently on the CW is Riverdale. God.
Yes, go.
So Riverdale, like, I think it was literally the very first episode, and I think it was in their promo, like, in their first promo of, like, oh, watch Riverdale, which is based off of Archie Comics, and everybody was really excited about it, but they, like, kind of branded it as, like, this is going to be a dark story, it's going to be a drama, blah blah.
Yeah, that's hard to do with Betty and Veronica. Like,
but it honestly I liked it, and I think that it worked. Like, I think that it kind of worked. Uh-huh. Obviously, it's a CW, so it's gonna work only to a certain extent. But they had it for the promo, and that was, like, the first fucking thing that happened. These two girls, Betty and Veronica, barely meet,
of course,
and then bam, full on makeout session,
of course.
And the one thing that they didn't do is they didn't do it, like, to impress a guy or anything like that, like, right, like they normally do on these CW shows. They did it instead because they wanted to spice up their cheerleading routine.
They did it for shock value.
They did it for shock value. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and the cool thing about
it's
it,
like the Janet Jackson nipple,
yeah,
the Super Bowl.
The cool thing about it is the person that they were trying to
yes, this was like a
poor
nipple
Janet.
For, like, cheerleaders.
But so I mean, it's stupid, right? Like, these are tropey things, like, they're still clearly not over. The one cool thing that I can say about it is, for one, it wasn't for the male gaze. For two, the person that they were trying to quote-unquote impress called them out on their bullshit. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is this, like, the 1990s? Like, are you, what are you, like, this isn't spicy. Like, this isn't spicing it up. This
she's
is
like,
bullshit.
I can YouTube this, and I rather YouTube this.
Yeah, she's like, this is clearly bullshit. Like, this isn't, like, what does that have to do with your cheerleading routine? So they got called out quickly. But for the next, like, first half of the season, like, between Betty and Veronica, there's, like, there's no doubt that there's chemistry between these two characters. Like, fucking got you, like, a bouquet of roses because, like, you got mad at her.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like, Veronica.
You just casually bought her friend roses.
No, like, they got in a fight about something.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
even
they got in a fight about. So she sends her, like, a bouquet of, like, yellow roses. She's like, yellow means, like, friendship. I was like, shut the fuck up,
bullshit.
First of all.
They should have just been red, Heffa.
Yeah. And then she's like, I will never. Send roses. And, you know, they did a little vow to each other. I will never let a guy get between us. And I was like, oh, my God.
This is what they're saying to each other?
Something like that, yeah.
You they're guys, like doing this.
It's stupid. It's like...
And not let them fall in love. Like, let them fall in love.
Honestly, they're... I mean, I don't think that necessarily the chemistry was planned, but some of those elements of the story, like the roses, for example, queer baiting. I mean, come on. And,
queer baiting the comics a little bit?
The Betty and Veronica comics is super queer baity. Like,
it's... But it's like... But it's also kind of like... I don't know. Like, there is, like, one cover where, like, they... I don't... Yeah, there is a lot of shit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of shit.
What are you talking about? Everything between them in the comics was super, like, subtexty and, you know, archive of our own. Like...
Yeah.
Like, if you want to read fan fiction, they got it for you.
And if you're thinking about watching the show, they have other, like, flaws within the show. They, like... Okay, so they, even though like it starts out very like feministy, blah blah, and it has a lot of feminist moments, I give it that, but it does kind of end up with the same kind of plot line that, oh, I'm getting the guy type of thing.
Ugh, gross.
And the real heavy drama is from the parents. It's like, okay, teenagers aren't in it for this. But so, and then there was like a little bit of drama with the actress that plays Betty. I'm not gonna get into that too much, but a part of queer baiting is like those actors going and like saying, oh yeah, this, that, and like kind of playing with the with that kind of notion of her and Betty and Veronica, and then going back and calling it a joke, you know what I mean, like saying like people are stupid for taking this seriously, that kind of thing.
Oh god, like queer things are jokes.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. But yeah, there's only one season out, and I will give them semi credit. They do have one gay character in it. He's this dude, and he's kind of a part of the group. He's not one of the main characters, but he gets some screen time, and he gets a storyline.
Mm-hmm. Is he the guy with the hat?
No.
Okay.
No. He...
I don't know any of these characters. I just felt like chiming in. I apologize.
No, the dude from, like, Sweet Life of Jack and Cody's in it. I think that's who you're talking about, but no, he's not him.
He's not queer?
Not in the show. In the comics, they kind of confirmed him to be asexual, which everybody was, like, hoping... Huh. Everybody wanted him to be asexual on the show because that's like you don't see a lot of asexual characters, and that's a representation that's needed too. But no, they like, and there was no chemistry between the character that I'm not gonna like spoil it, but there's no chemistry between him and the character that they put him with. Didn't make sense. It wasn't cute. Like, honestly, they pushed that into fruition. It just doesn't work.
They couldn't push in Betty and Veronica being
which
canon.
Which was so easy. Like, you could
canon because they are.
Nobody would question it.
That's their whole, like, thing. That's what pulls people in with Betty and Veronica.
Yeah.
It isn't their friendship because, trust me, there's a lot of chicks that are friends and they don't do stuff like that for each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll definitely probably tune in this season. I'm not going to lie. But that is your basic 101 queer baiting. Like, 101.
Oh, Lord.
Just to, like, kind of bring an example for you guys. The next thing I'm going to talk about was also very, like, probably the CW show that the whole world has probably been waiting.
Oh, my God. Honestly. I've been waiting for you to talk about this. Like, I don't. Okay, because you do Supergirl recaps.
I did Super. No, I'm talking about The 100.
Oh, The 100?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, The 100. Yeah. The show I didn't watch. Yeah,
thank God.
The whole thing that like made this right, like Lexicon. Like
I used to recommend The 100 to everybody. Like
you recommended it to me before we like met
everyone, dude. And like now, like I'm just like, don't hurt yourself that way. Do not put yourself through that heartache. Don't do this. Don't fucking watch that show.
I wasn't into the characters, so I never got into the show, and I never
the first dude. Okay, so the first season of The 100 is basic bullshit. Like, the acting isn't strong yet. Yeah. The storyline, you know what saved them in the first season is that their plot is pretty cool. And they had, like, this group of people called the Grounders. And that whole story was really, really good. And that's what saved them because they had some shitty actors and some shitty acting and some shitty direction.
So you're kind of, like, making me not. I don't think anyone wants to watch this.
No, don't. But
okay, good. Don't watch this one, guys.
In the second season,
she put herself through this.
They tried to like Game of Thrones it, so they killed a few people off. The second season was a huge improvement, and once again, I think it's because of their concentration on that plot point, the Grounders, and their whole story and their culture. You know what I mean? It was great, and they were doing so great, and they brought in because this is CW, this is basically network television, right? Like, you don't have main characters that are queer. You don't have them. They yeah, don't fucking it exist.
It's kind of like the I don't know.
It's a side ABC character. You get side for, characters
for children. For their main audience is like maybe 12 to like 15.
I don't know, but basically,
it might the.
You know what? I don't. You know you don't that, have to comfort
that was,
me.
That was in shade.
You don't, have to, saying, you don't have to fucking drag
you and my
me.
Dad both love that channel. Yeah,
that was like you just fucking snatched my wig. But you know what?
Here, I'll give it back. I give back your wig. Here no, you go. You know what? I'll put it back on for you.
No, thank you. I'm just gonna. Anyways, okay. It's a love hate relationship. You don't understand.
I don't.
Okay, but it, the point is that it fucking got better. It gets better. it got, you know, basically, it was, I think, the first time, and this was a couple years ago, but it was the first time that the main character, the fucking main character, was queer.
The fucking main character.
Like, not the secondary, not the...
Oh, wait, really?
It was like the only, well, or it was the only longer? One. It was the only one currently on that at that point in time. It was the only one on air.
Oh wow!
I should say.
Okay.
And she was bisexual, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It wasn't some Will and Grace bullshit. So like, it was. Like, no. Sorry, I had to come for them. I didn't like that first episode of the new season.
Oh, you watched it?
I tried.
I didn't even.
Anyways. Yeah. So, it got better, and then they introduced Lexa, and Lexa was. Fucking iconic, right? Like, and honestly, Alicia Dunham Carey, despite the many whatever the all the drama that's kind of happened, she's an amazing actress. Like, oh my god, like I've seen her play a few different characters and she does everything perfectly.
What else was she in?
She's in The Fear of the Walking Dead.
That's right.
She did like some scary movies and shit. Like, she's an amazing, like, straight up, just going just only by the 100, like, and then going like seeing some of the interviews that she's done. Her personality is nowhere near what that character is like.
Really?
And she turned into a whole different person, and I give her so many props for that.
We see you, girl. Keep the acting up, girl.
Yeah, she's doing that shit.
It's popping.
So it was great, and then like that's why they had like people just okay. So the showrunner, he used to be super active on Twitter and interacted with the fans, and he was like, wow, like everybody's loving this character that I created, this relationship that I brought to air, and blah blah blah. And he's just like humble bragging himself all over the place and like telling fans, like queer fans who have never seen this kind of relationship blossom on screen like this, you know what I mean? They've never seen what they used to call it. They used to be like, we're getting the straight treatment, like queer people are getting the straight treatment where it's well rounded, the main characters, and they're well rounded, mm-hmm. and it's not a bullshit story, and there's flaws and there's ups and downs, like, and they were doing so well. It was a great storyline, mm-hmm. and she was like, you got to trust me, because they're like, you know, every single time that we've seen this before in the past, you know, somebody dies. Like, somebody fucking dies. The production code all over again. Queer baiting all over again. Tropes. The bury your gays trope all over again. And I wrote about this, by the way. Like, humble
she
brag.
Did. I read these. I read these.
Go on popnertv.com. Type in bury your tropes. Gotcha. Anyways.
Slight plug.
Because I put my heart in that shit. But anyways, yeah.
Slight flex.
I went to a panel at ATX Television Fest. Shout out to them for making the panel, but also not opposite of shout out to them for fucking up that panel. They did horribly. They fucked it up, man. Oh my god. I rant about it in the article. I'll like link it somewhere. Another reason to follow us on social media.
On the social medias. On the tweeters.
Yeah. So this is gonna get super spoilery super fast because I want to kind of get through it.
Hey, if you don't know about Klexa, right?
Yeah, Klexa. It's like KlexaCon was
I don't even know about. I didn't even watch the show, and I know what happened.
Yeah, everybody knows what happened. That's what's weird. It's like if you were a lesbian and you were tuned into Tumblr, like you knew.
And let me tell you, all lesbians are like 90%. Tuned in. 90%, like 50%, because like we're 50%.
No, I'm sorry, but
no,
it's
you think
90.
We're 90% fangirls?
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So people know about what happened, and there's so much flack that and so much turnaround, and honestly, there was a lot of bullshit that came from the fans during that time because they were really hurt. But there was also so much, so many amazing things that came from it.
Yes.
So,
spoil it. Do it.
I'm gonna do the 60 seconds starting now. 60 seconds. I'm gonna like just boil the shit out of it. This is what happened. Oh, let me time it. All right, starting now. Lexa dies. This most amazing character who is so well-rounded and so casually queer. Like, nobody makes a big deal out of it. Like, oh my god, am I gay? Like, no. They like each other, and that's fucking that. Their real problems are with war and with famine and with how they're gonna fucking deal with all these problems. And they deal with them together, and they're both young women, queer women, who are leading their people to safety and trying to save them. Like, that's not been seen before.
That has not been seen before. And what do? Her. They kill her. How does she die?
With bullshit. This is an amazing warrior. This is an amazing warrior who has fought everybody. Like, she had to kill like a ton of people just to become the leader and or whatever. And like she a was warlord. Forced into this. And she was forced into this. This wasn't her decision. She would have died otherwise, right? So she gets killed by a stray bullet. A bullet that a bullet that wasn't
she
meant
died
for
like
her.
A gangster though.
No, but it's that's no, not Ricky. Like a gangster. It's bullshit. Yeah,
that was a Boys in the Hood reference.
Oh. Yeah. So I mean, no, the minute's out, but I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
You just did.
Well, because they would have tuned out for those 60 seconds. All right. Anyways,
if you haven't seen Boys in the Hood, that's how it ends.
Oh my god,
Ricky. We shouldn't be laughing. That was such a horrible scene.
I gotta take a drink for what just happened. So
yeah, let's drink this for them.
Pour one out for somebody that I'm not gonna say.
And we're not gonna pour it out. We're gonna pour it into our mouths. But anyways,
yeah, I'm pouring one out into my stomach.
There we go. Yep. I like that. Yes.
So, anyways,
but really positive things spawned off of that, like Lexicon.
Yes,
that's like a very real thing you go to like every year, right?
In this, yeah, and what's crazy, the CW has definitely tried to distance themselves from that festival. Like nobody, a lot of amazing, huge actors and actresses, they went to that, but the CW distanced themselves from it. Like, even though they've been trying to put queer people all over their fucking network, they won't let them go to the super queer festival. I think there's one person that was on the CW going this next year that they've announced so far. Ooh. But the CW has tried. So this girl from Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh god, never seen it, never heard of
it. I tried to watch it. But they have a queer character there.
Yay, one.
Had.
Oh, did she
die
off?
As far as I know, I haven't seen that show. I don't know what happened to her. But I have no idea. But she's going, and that's the first CW person that they've announced. And I don't think she's with CW anywhere. So moving on from that, because this is
yes. I'm so excited. Yes.
The CW has another show in which it's a mixture, right? Because with everything with The 100, like The 100 also had other queer characters other than the main people. And of course, the main character is there and she's still gay, I imagine, or bi. The Riverdale had other queer characters, and Supergirl has queer characters.
Oh, Supergirl. Oh, Supercorp.
So Supergirl, I started watching because, and I watched it from the first season. In the first season, there was no gay characters, a single one.
But the first episode where they made a gay joke.
Yeah, they were just, he's like, all right, because like she's like trying to come out as Supergirl. Yeah. And he's like, you're a lesbian. And she's like, no, I'm not a lesbian just because I won't go out with you. Like,
yeah, but she should have been. Anyways.
She should be.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah. So in the first season, the reason that I started watching it is because there was a relationship between her and her boss that a lot of people kind of interpreted as like loving. Yeah, which is, like, I think people just kind of queer baited themselves on that.
Yeah, that one was hardcore. Themselves, because that was not real.
Yeah, so I started watching it for the feminist goggles. For the feminist values.
True.
And it was, I think it was a solid, good first season. It used to be, I think, on like ABC, and then
it was actually on CBS.
CBS,
it started off on CBS,
okay.
Primetime
and then
TV.
Yeah, then CW snatched it up because I guess CBS didn't want to do it anymore. See, isn't CBS the ones that were like, oh, it's too female? Weren't
they
those
CBS
fuckers?
Was like, oh, it's a little bit too female empowerment.
Yeah, they're the ones who did that bullshit, I think. But yeah, so it ended up still on CW, and now they can do all kinds of crossovers with The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow.
Yeah. It makes sense to have it on that network because it's where all the superheroes are.
Yeah. And on when the second season came around, of course, too, I think they started production right after the backlash with The 100. So Alex, who is Supergirl's sister, wasn't explicitly gay in the first season. Nope. She had like gone on one date, but it was like not a real date. It was like she was trying to get information on this dude or whatever, because she's this like not a spy. She's like a she works for the DEO, which is like they look for bad aliens and shit like that. Nope. Yeah.
She's an investigator, basically, right?
Like she's like an agent. She's like
FBI
a
agent, but for aliens.
Yeah, there you go. Like an FBI agent. That's a good way to put it, for aliens.
Yeah.
But that season, you know, she's an older character. She's like probably in her 30s, I would say. And they brought up a storyline where she dates Maggie Sawyer. Maggie Sawyer, famously in the comics, also kind of started out, or actually Maggie Sawyer herself started out as kind of like a straight character that ended up coming out, had a kid, ended up with Batwoman. So I thought that was, that's a great storyline in the comics, but they completely changed Maggie Sawyer for the show. They tried to make her a person of color, but quite honestly, like the, I think like the actress herself, Gloria Lima, she doesn't identify as a person of color, even though she kind of looks like
presents
one.
Presents as one.
Yeah. So there's a lot of backlash about that right there. What's crazy is that they're saying, because they had only signed her for the second season. So she signed on to other projects and she can't go back to full time for season three. So they're saying that they're going to write her off, but she's going to be in a few episodes. So now there's more backlash on that. So I guess I kind of skipped over this, but Alex and Maggie Sawyer's character end up together in a relationship.
They're the only like official queer characters on Supergirl.
And it's very positive. It's a very positive relationship.
We
right?
like them. They're great. But
they're cute, but they don't have all that much.
They don't have chemistry.
They don't.
Their scenes are not like.
I love
their scenes are adorable, but they're boring.
I love the actresses separately. I love the characters separately. They do lack a lot of drama. They tried to do little dramatic storylines.
You know, they're boring. They're boring, dude. Like
I still have love for them.
I love them.
I still, when I was doing recaps, I would look forward to Mondays. Do you have any idea what it is like being in a weekend and wishing it was Monday?
What?
Yeah, I used to look forward to Mondays.
Girl, Mondays
I was like,
not what's popping.
I know, but that's how much I was
into Supergirl.
Yeah, and there was like not really any other shows that had any queer characters during that time.
Let's get down to the meat of it, to the reason why we're
the fucking,
even
yeah,
talking
the,
about.
So
them.
Why are
oh
we talking
God.
About them when we're talking about queer baiting, right? Because they are not queer baiting themselves, even though they kind of are, because they were just thrown in there to appease people, and that's bullshit. Like, try harder. But
I don't really like them together.
I don't, yeah, you know, I mean, you might get your wish this season then, but this coming season.
I don't care about them though.
But the reason that they still ended up fucking with backlash is they also introduced this last season Lena Luthor, played by
Katie
McGrath, like the fucking queerest like actress ever. Like she's not, I don't think she's, I don't know if she is or not.
She doesn't say what she identifies
yeah
as, so
she doesn't
respect her privacy, but
she doesn't do social media or anything, so
but
she has done queer characters before, and her in this show, even though she
we
like,
could do a whole episode on times Katie McGrath has been a queer character. That's how much
yeah.
she's been a queer character.
But
and
no
so,
this woman,
it's hard for her to be in a room and not have chemistry with another woman. She will find any woman old,
and it's not even
young,
just
like,
her right
just,
like it's not even ugh. Just her and her chemistry.
No, it's not.
with the actress, it's also like what was written in, right? Like even the content of what was written in.
So who are the two people we're talking about?
We're talking about Supergirl and
herself.
Lena Luthor. And I think it kind of started
name
off
is called Supercorp.
Yeah,
they have a ship name, you
because
guys.
Lena Luthor is the boss of the corporation yeah. of that Lex Luthor left behind, etc. So I think they tried to do like a, you know, like fucking Smallville. They had Clark Kent and Lex Luthor kind of have that weird friendship at the beginning, and it kind of like evolved
yeah.
into like this. He became a villain.
Yeah.
And
but
I,
first they were like BFFs.
Yeah, cool. They're super cool with each other. He saved his life. Blah blah.
They were best friends.
Speaking of saving his life, like, but it's just like.
This is not like
this is,
that.
This
so
went beyond.
This is not like
this went beyond.
Best friend shit.
Because like she would go and like, you know, like there's that pretty famous scene with Superman where he like catches the girl from he's just like falling off a building and he catches her and he comes up and he's like holding her.
He catches Lois Lane in
yeah,
his arms.
And he's holding her in his arms and like it's super romantic. That exact scene happened with Lena Luthor and Supergirl.
Iconic.
She caught her in her arms and put her down, and all you see is like Lena Luthor smiling.
And Lena Luthor's just like
so
holding
hard.
She's just like holding onto like
she's
her like
yeah,
arms around her leg
totally
her neck.
Normal.
Like it was
iconic.
Honest.
It was iconic. It really was.
And that's not even it, right? Like
no,
that's
it gets,
just
it gets even worse.
No, even or better, depending on how you look at it. Because
it's not gonna happen. It's worse, but
yeah, it kind of really seems like it's not gonna officially happen And I'm kind of worried about season three and how they're going to try to push away from that, because I feel like it's going to be unnatural.
Yeah, because their chemistry is crazy.
It's palpable.
Okay, let's talk about that flower scene.
Supergirl's entire office with roses. Red roses this time, not yellow.
Yes, they're red roses.
Her entire office.
Mm-hmm. All and of she's it. She's like, I knew you were having a bad day. She's like, you didn't have to send she's them,
like,
right?
It was like, they were like, it was like a thank you flower. But I'm like, that's so fucking extra.
You could have given her like a lily, but no. You filled the room
actually,
with red
lilies
roses.
Would have been gayer, but still.
Then she should have done it. It didn't really matter at this point.
So there's like so much chemistry.
So romantic. And then that scene while they're sitting on the couch talking to each other.
And she like leans her head on her. She like puts her hands on her. She like tries to comfort her after she loses like the one dude that Lena Luthor like I guess had any interest in.
Yeah, she didn't. She didn't. All her interest is Supergirl.
No, I mean, she did have interest in him like that one episode only. But
yeah, that's it.
But still like.
Anytime they're in a scene together, you just want them to like.
And like, I think what didn't help
them.
It's
hard to not ship them.
What didn't help them is having this amazing like relationship / friendship or whatever blossoming between them two, and it being so awesome in comparison to this like actual relationship that they were trying to push with Supergirl and this little asshole named Monel.
That's not popping at all. They had zero chemistry, dude.
They didn't. Well, I mean, chemistry they probably did have, because I think in real life they ended up together. But still, like, his character was a piece of shit.
Yeah,
the way he treated her character was a piece of shit. Like, their storyline, their characters themselves were shit.
Yeah.
With each other. And it was, like, not a good relationship.
It was bad writing.
It just wasn't a good example of, like, what a relationship should be, I should say. Like, I don't know. It was just forced. But, yeah, I mean, definitely between them, obviously, like, they were into each other. But that's just because in real life they're into each other.
Once upon the show, it's just
like, right. Like if they didn't have that, like it would have been shit all around. So, in comparison, having that contrast, I guess, of relationships, it made Lena Luthor and her character being together even more desirable, I guess. So they still queer baited even with the queer characters in there. Like, how do you fuck it up that bad? How do you do that?
Yeah, they're still queer baiting two characters that obviously have lots of chemistry. You're writing in them like what her. Holding her in her arms and like,
and then you still
saving her and like,
And then they had some recent backlash too, where like several of the cast members.
Yep, I remember this. This was super dramatic on that side. Go ahead.
They were some of the cast members were making fun of the fans for shipping them. They're like,
except Katie McGrath.
Katie McGrath, like kind
one
of
other character.
She was kind of trying to be polite. She was just like, okay, huh, I see what you're doing there, but also like these fans are amazing. And she just like shoved it in their face like right away. She's just like, but these fans are amazing, and you need to remember that, like,
because Katie McGrath knows who her fan base is,
or she just I think
she's a decent human being.
Yeah, I think she's just a decent human being. Like, she was just like, I don't know what you guys are like. What are you guys are getting at here? Like, I know that it's a joke to you, but
people
are gonna get hurt. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah, like a lot of people are emotionally invested in these characters, and that's how you guys get a lot of your ratings. Katie McGrath is not stupid.
She's not, and she's a good person.
We love her.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess we'll see what happens next season. I honestly think they're gonna definitely try to mess with that dynamic, and I'm gonna be pissed off when it happens, but I'm still gonna watch it. And Monel is supposedly, you know, they kind of tried to write him off, but I feel like they're probably gonna bring the little shit back. And obviously, Maggie Sawyer is somehow gonna be written off, so. It's just kind of a shitstorm kind of waiting to happen. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, since I kind of want to be, like, you know, happy for him a little bit, let's talk about Katie McGrath somewhere. I know you have something to say.
Oh, yeah. I love Katie McGrath. So, I'm going to go into my whole thing on my favorite shows that queer baited. Are they even my favorite shows?
See, for me, it was all about the CW, and it was all about, like, people, like, this network has a real fucking issue. With you, it's like, damn, like, these girls have chemistry.
Yeah, I'm really just looking at things that have chemistry, and, you know, according to Tumblr. So, I spent a lot of time, like, when I was in the closet, also in Tumblr, and fangirling on there. And during my time in the closet and fangirling, I became obsessed with this now canceled terrible show called Dracula. NBC.
So you
tried
watched it
to...
when it was still airing?
Oh yeah, girl.
I only watched because of Katie McGrath. And I only watched her scenes.
No,
I pulled a U.
I watched the show. I don't know why, but it's that main actor from with the dreamy eyes. I can't remember his name. I didn't care about him. I didn't care about him. He had dreamy eyes.
Oh, okay.
But
relatable.
Know. Oh, my thoughts right here. Hair flip, relatable. I have dreamy eyes too. Yeah, another side flex. So shout out, you know, my thoughts, dreamy eyes. People,
just kidding.
You know,
I mean,
she has dreamy eyes. So her DMs are open though, guys. Okay?
They're not. They're
don't
actually,
DM
not,
me.
They're not open unless you follow me. So you have to follow me.
Okay, well,
and I have to follow you back.
So much for trying to put you on. Anyways, there was a lovely little show called Dracula. Now this show is trash, but.
It wasn't the greatest, but it wasn't the worst.
It wasn't the worst, because I watched it for Katie McGrath, okay?
So did I.
Katie McGrath is an amazing Scottish actress who I'm low-key obsessed with. She had these amazing scenes with Dracula's love interest, who I cannot remember the name of, because I didn't care about her either, because she was bad. She's a bad, bad person. Anyways, we are watching the revamp of Dracula, and Katie McGrath and her in every single scene, and they did write this in.
Yeah, this was on purpose.
This is on purpose.
This is like on purpose queerbaiting.
This isn't just chemistry. This
is like queerbaiting is a part of the storyline.
Yes, queerbaiting was part of the storyline. So we spend this whole season being tortured by Katie McGrath being in love with her best friend. And that is written into the story.
And this is old timey, so back then it was like bad.
Ooh, 2012 maybe.
Something like that. Maybe 2013 or 14.
2013. It was trash. But I watched it because Katie McGrath is an amazing actress, and put a freaking fork in a room with her and she's gonna have chemistry with it. That fork will be laughing, okay?
I'm gonna wish I was that fork.
Like, I mean, yeah, I want, anyways, not gonna go there. That was inappropriate. But she spends the entire season in love with her best friend. And there was this painful episode where Katie McGrath finally admits her feelings to her best friend. And guess what? Of course, they're laying in a bed cuddling, because that was written into the show.
Like, yeah, like all the way
and
in a bed.
They just happen. She just happens to be watching her best friend sleep. And I was like, wait a minute, not all lesbians. But I was like, okay, well. A lot of us have been there. Anyway, she's watching her best friend sleep, and then she, like, I don't know. I don't know how her best friend was just completely clueless to Katie McGrath being in love with her. Like, seriously, these longing looks from across the room. Every time she sees her, she feels the need to, like, you know, check her hair and, like, fluff her. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's like Victorian times.
I'm telling you, it's Victorian times.
Like,
so
old, like, wigs.
She used to, like, put her hair to the side. You know, when you love someone, you know, you get the hair out of their face and make sure there's not cotton on their shirt. Well, this is what she did every time she saw this other character. She was like, let me touch you for no reason at all.
I feel like that wasn't even the script. I feel like Katie was just like, this is what a person in love does, and I'm going to do it.
I think so.
You know?
And that was super sweet. Okay, it was amazing. And they spent all their time together in their bedroom looking at each other longingly. There was another scene, like I said, when she comes out to her in the bed and she tells her she's in love with her. Her friend acts surprised. Like, which, what? Like, you guys are standing. Their faces were literally standing, like, maybe 2 inches away from each other.
Like as close as you are to your mic right now.
As close as I am to this mic is how close they were to each other. They were smelling each other's breath, like... If you breathe, the other girl could have inhaled her breath. Like, it was that bad. And she's like, wait, what?
What, you're in love
with me? You're in love with me? You have feeling? This was all a ploy to get to me? And I'm like, honey, you were sitting there with your arms around her, too, breathing in her oxygen, talking about you're surprised. I was like, what? I was like, fuck you, writers. And before that, they have this whole scene where they do absinthe together. And the whole time, like... I'm telling you, these actors were.
I need to go back and rewatch.
These actors were not like. I don't know if this was written in or not, but that Dracula's girlfriend, Katie McGrath's love interest, she just like stuck her whole head in like Katie McGrath's neck.
Oh.
Like, you know, when you're just.
That's fucking gay.
You know, pre-sex basically. Like,
it's called foreplay. Okay.
No. I wouldn't call it foreplay because I don't think she knew she was gonna play. So you can't call it foreplay.
Okay, it's not pre-sex either because it wouldn't.
Whatever, the pre-sex. She,
God.
She sticks her neck. She's like nuzzling her nose all up
the
in.
Pre-sex of. The pre-sex of the context.
She's nuzzling herself deep into this woman's like neck and like touching her hair, running her hands through her hair, and like they're both like it's happening, okay? Like it's happening. Okay, like if they had to cut a scene, then they had to probably catch their breath because it was that crazy. I was like, whoa, is absinthe always this lit?
No,
not always.
No, it's not.
No, but they don't have real absinthe now. Anyways, but I was like, yo, back in the day, absinthe must have been amazing. It must have been like ecstasy because it looks like that's what they were on. She rejects her and she acts surprised like, oh, you're in love with me? This was all a ploy? And I was like, it's frustrating because that's the reality of a lot of queer people. And after that, they kind of lost my interest.
And
they,
honestly, though, like, people are not that fucking thirsty. Like,
no, no. The thirst on this girl was ridiculous. But again,
that's just good acting.
No, no, I'm talking about the other girl supposedly not knowing. Oh, when I'm like, okay, honey, like, you guys look into each other longingly. Like, your scenes are cut that way. Like, the things you say to each other, like, you're always there for me. You always, I can always count on you. And then you guys are, again, inches away from each other's face while you say this.
It's like that,
like, why stand that close? Like, your homie's like, you know, my homegirl, if she's my best friend, I'm like, I love you, girl. Side hug. I love you, girl. Hug, hug. But, I mean, I don't make deep, longing looks. You know, I'm not, like, touching her face and telling her she's amazing unless, like, I'm about it. Unless she's about it. Like, you respect people's boundaries. They were not doing that with each other. They're all over each other all the time. And I was like, there's no respect here. This is intimate.
That's literally what there was like this round of tweets where, you know, this whole like Demi Lovato scandal about her having a girlfriend or whatever came
up.
That
was intimate.
Yeah, and they were like super close together and like holding each other in each other's arms and shit. And then this girl like replied it like, I think they're just friends or whatever. And this other girl was just like, look at this picture. Like,
I'm pretty sure I fucked my friends too, right?
She's like basically, she's like, there's, I'm pretty sure that they're like more than friends and like they're holding hands and all these pictures. And she's just like, okay, well, two friends can be like in love and that close and just be friends.
She's like, bitch, that's a relationship.
That's a relationship, yeah. Shout out California Love 84 because she's fucking like pointed that out.
That's true.
But
that's true.
Yeah, that's a fucking relationship. So that's basically.
So Dracula, I hate you because they were basically together. And the other chick should have just been like, oh, duh, I knew you were in love with me. I was just waiting for you. But no, that's not what she said. No. She pretends to be in love with Dracula, and it's just a bad storyline after that. I just stopped watching it because I was like, that's trash. That's not how you do queer characters. Like, her best friend could have been a cool bitch and been like, oh, it's cool. Like, they had her messing around with a straight man after that. It was bad after that. After she came out, that show was trash. And that's why it got canceled because queer people stopped watching it because you did Katie McGrath's character so wrong.
I mean, the show was trash.
I mean, their scenes were amazing, though. They had really good chemistry. Yeah, just their scenes only. They had really good chemistry. But anyways, that's my Katie McGrath rant.
She's amazing, though.
But you know who Katie McGrath's best friend is?
Tell me.
Natalie Dormer.
She's so cute.
She's amazing.
I think she's so cute.
And she also, guess what? Totally had a queerbaity scene. Okay, so maybe I'm reading very heavily into this.
Maybe, because, like, no, because, like, nobody else, like, this is what you're about to talk about. Like, nobody else.
Nope, check Tumblr.
Okay,
check
nobody Tumblr. Else that I speak to directly in real life, like,
okay,
it's Caesar.
You haven't met like two other gay people I know that I don't interact with anymore. But anyways, okay. I know that they know that we know.
Look, is this a Friends episode? They know that we know that you know.
No,
that I know.
So Game of Thrones.
God.
Okay. I could just be delusional, and I probably am, and I admit to this early on, and I'm admitting to this, I may be delusional, but...
YouTube title, I have been queerbaited.
I queerbaited myself here, and and I don't mind that I queerbaited myself, okay? I don't care. I ship them forever.
So that's the title of this episode. I don't mind that I queerbaited myself.
I don't mind that I queerbaited myself. Clickbait. So there's... two characters. One is Natalie Dormer's character, which is Marjorie. She's this, like... super sex positive, super beautiful, super boss ass bitch who controls men.
With goals, man.
With goals.
She has goals.
See, my favorite thing about her character is that she has zoned into her sexuality and used it to control weak ass men. She's using it to manipulate men because her boobs are always out. Like, her chest is always out. It's always exposed. Like, this girl must be cold. Like, she's never wearing anything to cover her chest.
A hoe never gets cold.
A hoe never gets cold. Hey, what up? Hey, little bitch. You can fuck with
bloody
me
shoes.
If you wanted to. These expensive. These is red bottoms. These is bloody shoes.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, we had to do that because, you know.
You have to.
One time for the hood. Anyways, so she never gets cold. And she...
Ho is life.
She's manipulating men left and right. But her weakness, and the only people she's nice to. She's nice to everyone.
Her weakness.
Not her weakness.
I already know where this is going.
Yes, dude. Yeah, because I've told Joe my delusions. Joe knows about my delusions. Anyways, there's another character. Her name is Sansa. Now, Sansa.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her, right? Okay. So, Sansa, she starts off as this princess, like, bratty girl. And then she gets her whole life destroyed, and then she's lonely and sad. The only thing I really ship Sansa with because of her sadness is joy and happiness and smiles. Okay? She deserves it at this point.
Wow, you really, a lot of people are, pissed at Sansa right now.
A lot of you don't like Sansa, but I do because I feel like her character is developed from a little bratty princess to a boss ass.
She's turned into Cersei.
Okay, but Cersei, she's not fucking her brother, though. Okay, and that's mainly Cersei's problem. I would be down. I'd be Team Cersei if she wasn't all incesty. Okay, when she did that, she lost me. I was like, can't do it.
Even without the incesty stuff, I still kind of hate Cersei.
She killed. Okay, spoiler alert. She killed one of the characters I'm talking about. So
Cersei
yes.
belongs with Piper Parabo on Imagine Me and You.
Cersei. So Sansa and Marjorie meet in King's Landing. Now Sansa is mopey and sad because all of her family is basically dead, and if she doesn't know that they're dead, she thinks they are.
Well, her dad, yeah.
All her friends are dead. Push it to the edge. She's like a walking Lil Uzi song, you know? Like, without the fun. And, you know, without the drugs. Just the sadness. Just the emo shit. So, Sansa's super sad. Marjorie comes in with her joy. And literally, this is the only time I see Sansa smile and be happy the whole season. Like, the series of this fucking show is the only time this bitch is happy. Yeah, no. It's the only time she's happy. And even when she saw her sister, it was kind of like a side eye. Do you hate me still or are we
They're
good?
Just gal pals. I'm just kidding.
All right. Okay, so a lot of the things that were written in between Sansa and Marjorie are them spending a lot of time alone together, taking walks. Now,
goals.
I know. That's all I want to do is be by the Mediterranean walking with my
babe. By myself, though, to be honest.
What? Yes. Whatever, dude. I would do Hey, if Marjorie said, let's go take a walk by the Mediterranean while I'm wearing this cold outfit.
With come on. Marjorie, yeah.
Come on. Her, chest exposed. I'd be like, yeah, whatever you want. Like, if that's what you want,
you
want to
go into the depths of hell? Let's go.
What do you want to do today? Let's do all of it. So anyways, they spend a lot of their time taking walks together and, smiling into each other's eyes. And it's not really their chemistry.
Smiling into each other's eyes. You know, just continue. Just continue.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, they're smiling into each other's eyes, okay? I say it because I feel it in my soul.
Are they on absinthe too, or
they should be.
No,
thank you.
This is pre-sex.
So
go
they're having a lot of pre-sex by the beach on these walks, right?
Oh my
no,
god!
No. But a lot of the things that are written in are them going on these walks together, and this is the only time I've seen Sansa smile. Like Marjorie smiles at everybody because she's anyways. But Sansa, this is the only time she's actually happy. And there's a lot of scenes where it looks like Sansa's just kind of looking into Marjorie's eyes and forgetting where she is. I know. I feel it.
Forgetting where she is.
No, for real. There's parts where I'm like, girl,
okay,
the line is coming.
I feel like you have to have one specific scene.
Okay,
all right,
fine. Okay, this is one scene. They're in a garden.
Okay.
And Marjorie is trying to explain the complexities of marriage and the first night after marriage. Because Sansa, you know, she's an innocent little baby. Nothing's happened to her yet. Thank God. And then it goes wrong. Anyways, they're in this garden and they're talking about, you know, women's preferences and how women don't get to experience anything.
Oh.
And then Marjorie, they match. Okay, there's a freaking rose bush with gorgeous roses as, you know, just magically there.
Do they fall into it?
This is not Imagine Me and You. Okay?
All right, just making sure.
So Marjorie gets a rose that happens to probably not have any thorns because Marjorie's perfect. She grabs a rose and gives it to Sansa. And Sansa's like, da 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 da, cool flowers. Marjorie's like, nah, girl, this flower's for you, girl. Marjorie's like,
what are her exact words? Because I feel like that wasn't it.
No.
All of a sudden, she's like, what's up, bitch?
What up, girl? You gonna
No,
anyways, light a candle. Anyway, she gives her this rose, and the Tumblrverse went crazy with that rose.
That's it?
No.
Okay,
gives her rose.
Keep going
on this walk, and she's mentioning how, you know, women aren't fulfilled, and most women don't get to experience something that they like, you know, she's like, some men like ugly men, some like some women.
Okay, so it's like, I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's yeah. true. Shout out to those.
Shout out to her brother.
Shout out to her brother for being R.I.P. queer. But she's totally down for her brother being queer because she's queer, too. She's mentioning how women sometimes like, you know, different preferences that women have. No, not all of a sudden. She's like, sometimes women like pretty girls. And she looks right at Sansa.
She said that?
Yes. No, she said sometimes. Sometimes women like pretty girls. Then she looks straight at Sansa and smiles. And then Sansa's like, that's cool.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Sansa's like, da 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 da.
Oh my God.
She's like, me, if I'm getting hit on, I'm oblivious to it. I'm just like, oh, it's happening, whatever. Nah, me. And then she, and then at the same time, there's like someone, a woman walking by, and Marjorie looks her up and down, like, yeah, I did that last night.
No.
Like, I'm dead serious.
No.
Yes. And the writer of Game of Thrones, the books, what's his name?
George R. Martin.
He wrote this episode. George R. Martin wrote this episode, so he knew what the fuck he was doing. He knew he wanted to make her queer, okay? Because he's the one who wrote this. He wrote this episode. And he had Marjorie smile at that lady walking by and look her up and down like, yeah, I tried you last night too.
Girl. Wait, so she didn't say that?
No, no. I fucked her. And then she just like moved on. And I was like, oh, Marjorie. And then nothing happens because I hate this show just fucks with you. Because they want to steal Sansa's joy at every stop.
Oh my God.
And off camera...
I thought it was canon.
It was super not canon.
No, I mean, I thought it was canon that she that Marjorie was queer, but...
No,
I
it's guess. Not. That's...
Well, I mean, if she said that sometimes women like other women...
And then look directly at...
I guess that's... It's implied,
but it's not canon. Like, yeah, no one's confirmed it, even though George R. R. Martin wrote this episode.
Yeah.
And he's the biggest confirmation you need, right? And he has a lot of other things that are weird. Anyways, the actors outside of the show, Sansa's character, Sophie Turner?
Sophie Turner and Arya's character are adorable together.
Yeah, but you know they're not really. They're just like
BFFs. But they're so cute together. I ship it.
They're adorable as best friends.
Me and my straight best friend.
Are like that?
My straight best friend, who's a woman, are both like... Mophie all the way.
I mean, I love them. They're Sorry. So cute. Sorry. No, but Sophie Turner off screen is always mentioning how she has a crush on Natalie Dormer and how Sansa should have ended up with Marjorie. Like, even she points that out. And she's like,
that would have been so cute.
Yeah, she's like, actually, she's like, they're like, who do you ship Sansa with? And she's like, honestly, Marjorie. Like, they should have ended up together.
I'm like a horrible Game of Thrones fan. I've watched seasons 1, 2, and 7.
Oh Lord, you are missing the bulk of it.
Yeah, no, but the thing is that
like
I know
season 3, so
yeah,
get on it.
Yeah,
get
yeah,
on
yeah.
It.
No, I, like from where I'm at right now, actually, I just started season 3. Where I'm at, Marjorie just got introduced to Sansa.
Welcome to it. You're gonna ship it. You're gonna ship it.
Okay, I'm working on.
Go on.
No, the thing is that I know so many of the things that happen because it's fucking Game of Thrones and spoilers are everywhere. So I know like. So much. So all the major events, I basically know.
Anyways, there's a lot of really good Sansa and Marjorie. It's called Sansory fan fiction. And
I'm a big Yara fan. I watched that scene with Yara and Dany. That's what I ship.
I mean, no. Imagine, like, I mean,
no,
that
no,
was...
No, I shipped them. I saw that scene and I died.
Okay, but then keep watching Sansa and Marjorie.
I will.
Because if you ship you're going to ship them.
I'm on season 3.
You're going to ship them because you're going to be like, are you serious? You just gave her a rose. Oh, are you serious? You just want to go on a walk with her?
What is it with lesbians giving like each other flowers? Yeah, flowers are like
roses.
Lesbian roses. Lesbian roses are called... lesbian roses are actually called lilies.
They are lilies. According to Imagine Me and You, yeah. The lesbian rose is a lily.
Ancient lesbian... what is it called?
Law.
What is it when we call the Bible verses? What?
Scripture.
Ancient lesbian scriptures. Imagine me and you.
Imagine
420.
Line 4.
One doth love thy woman whilst being a woman. Must give thou
must giveth her a lilyeth.
And say, I dare you to love me.
Yeah, I say.
Yeah, as in Kanye, I said.
It's in the book of like Aquarius Pablo. Or something, like because of course. No. It's gonna. It has to be like star signs. It has to be like the book.
It has to be a book of
Sagittarius or something. Like every book is a different star sign because that's what Lysine's based on.
Oh my God. All right. What else have you queer baited yourself with?
Okay.
From what I'm hearing, like you're queer baiting yourself, and that's fine. And that's fine. That's what we're here for.
Whatever, dude. Get in it.
No, I agree with you. I just, you know. there's one, at least one of the ones that you mentioned, that like I've been watching this show from day one, and like I've never shipped it.
Two Broke Girls?
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna go down to my other show. It's called Two Broke Girls.
And I love them, and I love Kat Dennings to death. Oh my
God. Kat Dennings is a beautiful, beautiful walking
but
angel.
But I'm just like,
she's gorgeous. Okay, so another thing that I've been quibrating myself for years on, and I don't even think I have, because honestly they write in awkward kisses with them, and it's just awkward. Like, I don't even want them to kiss anymore. It's just weird. I'm just like, stop. Just be married and don't pretend to like each other like
their
that.
Jokes, yeah, are pretty repetitive. It's a sitcom. Like, you can't have that.
Okay,
you can't have that much of an expectation.
It's called Two Broke Girls, and it's Kat Dennings and Beth Bears, and they are. Their ship name is called Maxlene. And I also, when I was deeply in the closet, was obsessed with them on Tumblr. Because they're kind of like the odd couple. One of them's blonde and rich. One of them's like, you know...
Was rich.
One's working class and super dry humor, super sarcastic and amazing and beautiful. And clearly, I'm in love with Kat Dennings.
Who isn't?
She's gorgeous. And, I spent the most of this show just waiting for one of them to admit their love for the other. And I didn't have to wait very long. They admit their love to each other often, frequently. And all their male love interests seem to kind of just drift away.
It's about them.
It's about them being in love. Okay?
It's about them being two broke girls.
And basically
and
married.
Needing each other.
And loving each other.
And supporting each other.
Yeah, but I can still ship them because they're perfect for each other. Like, and I don't mean in the friend way. I don't mean in the friend way. Like, I mean they really are perfect for each other. They're, like, best friends who, like, are emotionally supportive of each other all the time. And they get into fights and make up. Like, I guess, like, real friendship is like that. But I also don't do a lot of the things that they do. They're a little friendlier than I would ever be with one of my chick friends. Anyways, Two Broke Girls is Kat Dennings and Beth Bears being in love. And the whole show, like, they even write in these awkward kisses and, like, emotional.
They haven't had a lot.
There were, like, four awkward kisses written
in like, 100 bajillion seasons.
In 100 bajillion seasons and episodes. And it's terrible. And it's trash. And don't do it to yourself. Okay? Because I spent most of the... I really did. Like, I would watch this show and be like, oh, my God, when are they going to make out? When are they going to make out? And when they finally kind of... touched each other.
It's all a joke. Yeah, like their queer parts are.
It's a butt of the joke. It's all the jokes. Yeah. It's just to make fun of queer people, and that's
it's what they've been doing for ages, especially in sitcoms.
Yes, and they caught me by doing the same.
They got the
thing.
Shitty. I just like it.
Kat Dennings is gorgeous. I mean, that's how I think that's what got me in, because Kat Dennings is like a beautiful angel who breathes.
I like the show because I have an obsession with like numbers, and like I like how at the end of the episode it shows you how much money they have left. I love.
That is one of my favorite things.
They
about
have the
that
balance left, and I'm just
kind of
like, damn, with that money, like you could like start a bit. Like I always kind of calculate like what they could do.
I liked it though. It's a good show because it's kind of realistic on the way I think people actually live in New York.
But it's also really unrealistic.
I mean, yeah. No, the only realistic part is that they're supposed to be poor. And I was like, I'm lit. They're always doing odd jobs where they're not really getting paid enough. And I'm like, same. Not getting paid for my work either.
I need an odd job. I need like a 2-week job.
Same. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I like their friendship. I like their dynamic. But I don't like that they queer baited their entire relationship. Had they not done that? Had they just like made it so they're friends?
I think for a general audience, though, they know like... that they're never gonna end up
together.
Oh yeah, you know
they're
I mean?
Not gonna end up together.
Like they make it very pretty explicit that they're straight.
Yeah, but at the same time,
canonically, but yeah, they have the gay part is the joke. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always the joke. And don't watch it. I think is it still on?
Don't watch it, but you're gonna watch it, and
I'm gonna watch it.
Don't watch it for the queer
just
content.
Just watch their scenes because they're like if you want to see a really good friendship.
Like, I think it's a sitcom. It's funny. Well, you guys know where to find us. We kind of mentioned it earlier. CYC Podcast, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter.
Hit up the interwebs. We are part of the World Wide Webs.
And we...
Hit us up.
Yeah, and we're... you know, at the beginning of every episode, we talk about a character that was queer and wasn't canonically so, but we want
in
you guys
hearts.
To...
They were queer in our hearts.
We want to know who was queer in your heart, so email us so we can talk about it on the show, cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. This is important. Like, we're going to read this, we're going to talk about it.
Cowboy Bebop. I don't know what Joe said, but yes. We love y'all. Thanks for listening to us rant about things that could have, should have been.
And as always, you know, we're open. Our DMs are actually open on
my DMs are open.
The CYC podcast.
And she has dreamy eyes, guys. She has dreamy eyes. So you know,
I meant like for like if you want to talk about shows.
No. I meant
we are just pimping her out. Right
we're just trying to pimp her out. Anyways, we love you guys and thank you so much for listening.
And hopefully we'll see you in LA November 19th in downtown LA. And we really want to see
you guys. We will have stickers and beer koozies for
you. Yeah, we'll have stuff. And it's going to... There's so many good podcasts going.
Oh, my God. We're fangling.
If you like us at all, please.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Rate and review and subscribe. Like, it's so, so, so important.
Super important.
And tell a friend. All right. Well, thank you for listening. And as always, we like you guys a lot.
I love y'all.
Once you're pairing.
And awkward silence.
I know. What was an awkward one? Y'all fucked it up for me. We have to cut this out.
Anyways, we love y'all. Bye.